Morning, church. Hey, I want you to meet a new friend. For those of you worshiping in the video cafe, welcome. I'm going to bring John Phillips up here real quick. We've met him here in the sanctuary, but I want to give the video cafe a chance to meet our new minister of worship and arts. This is John Phillips. How about a round of applause for John? 35 years as a worship leader in this valley, and yet God called you here in this season. So just tell us a little bit about how you feel about that.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. I stand here and I just have flashbacks of that wedding day and meeting my wife. And
yeah, we have a picture. For those of you in the video cafe, they got married right here in this room. That was like at least 10 years ago?
Yeah, at least.
Something like that?
Yeah, I actually still fit in that suit. It's amazing.
All right, that sounds good.
Yeah, we met 35 years ago, and here God brought us back full circle. Our kids are here. We're so excited about what God has and how we can raise our voices to worship Him and not only on Sundays, but every day of the week and impact this valley for His name.
Well, welcome. Good to have you here. Just wanted to have the video cafe a chance to meet John Phillips. Thanks,
John.
Okay, so I normally, just as an intro, we're in a series called Renew. This morning is Renew Your Joy. I want you, if you have access to a Bible, I want you to open it and park in a place that we'll arrive at in just a few minutes. So open a Bible. If you're in here in the sanctuary, you can grab one off of the chair in front of you. If you have your own, great. You can also, I give you permission to go onto your phone. If you have a Bible app like YouVersion, YouVersion is the best Bible app for those of you looking for one. You could also, if you don't have that app downloaded right now or installed, you can just in your Google browser write, and here's where I want us to settle. All other scriptures that I mention in this message are going to be up on the screens except this one, but we're going to dive into this one. It's Psalm 16. Open your Bibles to Psalm 16. So if you're in the video cafe, you could always grab a Bible off of one of those trays or bookshelves as you walk in, or if you have your own or on your phone, Psalm 16. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dive in. Heavenly Father, thank you for the chance to open up your word. We pray that it would speak to us. God, your word is living, and it's active, and we have a chance to share your word through music, and now we have a chance to share your word through message. I pray that it would convict us and sharpen us, and I pray you'd give us courage to respond to it with humility. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Rhythms are really important. Rhythms are really important. They're important in the world of sports. Klay Thompson, you just scored 60 points in 29 minutes. How did that happen? His answer, I just found a really good rhythm. Steph Curry, you just set a new NBA record for three-pointers in a season, and you broke your own record from the year before that, and your own record from the year before that, and your own record from the year before that. How did you do that? Well, he's the quickest one in the NBA to find his rhythm. Think about in baseball, a pitcher like Madison Bumgarner, who just gets in this groove in the World Series where he starts mowing people down, and he's able to do that because he has established this amazing rhythm, or a quarterback in the NFL playoffs who's just dialed into his receivers and the timing. He finds an amazing rhythm in the realm of golf. How many of you are golfers? Just raise your hand here in the video cafe. It's so elusive, but when the rhythm hits you, it is so good, and you just get into that nice little groove. Rhythm is so important. We had a young golfer in a tournament in Hawaii this week who shot a 59. And the reporters went to him after, how did you do that? And he said, it was real simple. I just had an amazing rhythm. It all comes down to rhythm so often in sports. Rhythm, a working definition, is a regular or repeated pattern of movement. A regular or repeated pattern of movement. It's a pattern. Here's synonyms for it. A pattern, a cadence, tempo, flow. Rhythm, there are all different ways of saying rhythm. Maybe you don't play sports. You're like, get off of the sports analogy. How about this? If you've ever worked on a team in your life, you know what it's like to be on a team that establishes a great rhythm. You're more productive. You're more innovative. You're more effective. You're more efficient. If you ever worked on a team that lacked rhythm, you know those things are so elusive. You just can't get them. It also works in a family relationship. Think about your family. When your family is just, it has that cadence, it has that flow, it has that tempo. You're just in rhythm. Parents want to discipline the same way. The siblings, the boys and girls, parents, look at me. The boys and girls are getting along. They love each other, and you can tell because they're in such a good rhythm. You know this if you're in a marriage relationship. We're complementing each other well. We're supporting one another. We're finishing one another's sentences. Oh, we're in a good rhythm. Rhythm is important. You know this in friendship? When there's a good ebb and a good flow, a good give and take, reciprocity, friendships know rhythm as well. Rhythms are really important. This is something we all understand. Say amen if you understand the idea of rhythms. Amen. Now let me talk about something that I know we all want. Rhythms is something we all understand. Let's talk about something we all want. We all want joy. And for those of us that have a fair amount, a fair measure, or even feel like at times we have a full measure of joy, I promise you that every person in here and every person in the video cafe, we all want more joy. We want to be people of joy. We want to experience joy. And joy is like this beautiful, it's more than happiness. It's more than happiness. It's a combination. You can look this up, just a simple definition. It's gladness, pleasure, and happiness all in one. That's just joy. Now, here's what I'm proposing this morning. I believe that there's a direct relationship between rhythms and joy. I believe that there's a direct relationship between rhythms and joy. And I believe we can, I'll be stronger actually, I believe we should establish rhythms that renew our joy. We can and we should establish rhythms that renew our joy. And this morning, I'm going to give you five of them. I'm going to give you five rhythms that can and should renew your joy. And I want to give you a warning right now, though. These are not boxes to check. It's not a one-off. It's not randoms to renew your joy. It's rhythms to renew your joy. Patterns. Cadences, tempo, flow. It's a rhythm of life that can renew your joy. Not boxes to check, not I's to dot, not T's to cross. These are rhythms. Before we dive into the first one, I want to say one more thing. And really, I need to quiet my voice because it's a secret. When's the last time you heard a good, aren't good secrets great? Here is a secret to rhythms that can renew your joy. Shh. The secret is, the miracle is in the monotony. The miracle is in the monotony. This is not something new. This is a life principle that I know you know, that I know you understand, that I know you've experienced in other areas of life. If you've ever tried a new diet, and some of you are in that right now, the miracle is in the monotony. You eat right for days and weeks and months, and then you look in the mirror and you go, I've lost weight. If you're on an exercise regimen, the miracle is in the monotony. You wake up, you go, you run, you work out, you pedal, you lift, and eventually you do it enough in the midst of the monotony. It's a miracle. You're stronger. If you're part of a family, you know, the miracle's in the monotony. If you're part of a marriage, you know, it's day after day. It's week after week. It's year after year. And then you look back and go, wow, I love you so much more 15 years in, 20 years in, 40 years in, 50 years in, because the miracle is in the monotony. You know this if you've raised kids or grandkids. It's up, it's dressed, it's breakfast, it's school, it's drop-off, it's pick-up, it's pray at night, it's pat the head, it's put them down. The miracle is in the monotony. So these rhythms that can and will renew your joy, I'm going to give you five of them, but don't forget that the miracle is in the monotony. Here's number one, rhythms that renew your joy. If you're a note taker, take them out. Very practical message. Number one, begin with Jesus. The first rhythm to renew your joy, begin with Jesus. You might say, begin what? I would say, begin whatever with Jesus. Begin your day, begin your hour, begin your week, begin your month, begin your year, begin your conversation, begin your meal, begin your prioritization of your schedule, begin your calendar from a family calendaring standpoint. Whatever it is, begin with Jesus. This one is so important, as a matter of fact, that I believe after this one underneath, you're going to take a few notes on this one, and I'm going to give you five. You could write a little line between one and the rest of them, between one and two through five. Two through five are relevant to our lives, but one is so important that if you didn't have two, three, four, or five, you could have joy beyond measure. You could have joy that it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, where there Peter says this, though you have not seen him, that's Jesus, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So there is a when you begin with Jesus, and I love the word abide. That's from John chapter 15. That's my favorite chapter. John 15, 5 is my favorite verse. And my favorite word in all of Scripture is abide. It means to dwell, to spend time with, to marinate in, to walk with Jesus. I love this word abide. And when you begin with Jesus, you abide with Jesus. But I was tempted in my prep to like move on from this point quickly. And the Lord stopped me this week. And he said, Tyler, you can't keep talking about abiding and beginning without explaining exactly how it works, how the joy comes. Like, oh, I just open up the Bible and I read, I just pray and the joy comes. I just read a devotional and it happens. I stop and say the name Jesus and the joy comes. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll pause here and spend a little time showing them how, what happens when we begin with Jesus, like how is that a rhythm that renews our joy? But would you please lead me to a place where it clearly delineates, and the more concise, the better, God, this process of how? And he says, turn to Psalm 16. So I want to meet you in Psalm 16. We're going to read through this psalm. It's 11 verses. And then I'm just going to pick out this thing. Oh, this is how it happens. It's like the Lord said, this is how the renewal of joy comes. And what this psalm is, before we read it, this psalm, and it's not on your screen, so it's in your word or on your phone. This psalm is a prayer. Some scholars think this psalm is a song. This is David showing us, this is David having a quiet time. That's like a Christian term for spending some time, beginning a day, beginning a season with Jesus. This is David having a devotional time with the Lord. And I, as you know, I'm a big proponent of like 10 minutes a day. Find a chair, find a seat, find a spot where you can get into the rhythm of spending some daily time beginning with Jesus. That is a rhythm that will renew your joy. And here's how. Let's read Psalm 16. God's word says this. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. God, you're my refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. Your people, God, I delight in them. Verse 4, the sorrows of those who will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or even take their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup, and you have made my lot secure. Lord, you're my portion, you're my cup, and you're my security. He goes on. I love this verse, Psalm 16, verse 6. It's beautiful. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me, and even at night my heart instructs me. Verse 8, a proclamation. I have set the Lord always before me. Or maybe your translation says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Quite a statement. And in verses 9 through 11, here comes the joy. It starts to bubble up. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices, and my body also rests secure, because you won't abandon me to the grave. You won't let your Holy One see decay. You've made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. You fill me with joy when I abide in you. You fill me with joy when I begin each day, each hour, each conversation, each meal, each season with you. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hands. How does the joy come when we begin with Jesus? Here's what we see in that psalm. It begins with a request. And the request is simple. Help! You ever prayed a prayer like that to God? Help! I mean, David's crying out, help me, Lord! So it begins with a request. We can all relate to a request from God. Right after that come one after the other in rapid fire for the next several verses, the reminders. This is how the rhythm of beginning with Jesus renews our joy. First the request, help, then the reminders. You're my Lord. You're my God. You're my highest good. You're my lot. You're my portion. You're my security. You're my instructor. You're my teacher. You're always at my hand. And so because of that, it's a request and then a reminder. This is who you are in my life. He's reminding him in these few minutes. And then a reset. He says in verse 8, I will always have my eyes on you. I love this translation as the older NIV. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. It's a reset. First the request, then a reminder. This is who you are to me, God. You're my this, you're my that, you're my that. And then a reset button. I'll always put my eyes on you. And because of that, then what happens next? He rejoices. Look at verses 9 through 11. I've requested of the Lord. I've reminded myself of who you are. I've reset my focus on you. And therefore, my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. My body rests secure. You won't abandon me. You're always by my side. You've made known to me the path of life. And you fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. It's not a formula. It's a promise. You begin with Jesus, you establish that rhythm in your life, your joy will be renewed. And the reason this one is so important, we spent extra time on it, 2 through 5 will come quicker. The reason this is so important is you could have none of the remaining ones and still have inexpressible and glorious joy. You've been probably to places, whether it's the third world, a place where you've noticed the persecuted church, and they don't have any of the earthly spoils that we enjoy, that we lust and pine and long for here, and yet they're filled with joy beyond measure. How is that? They have Jesus, and he's all they need. He's all they need. And they begin every day, and every season, and every meal, and every prayer with Jesus. And he's enough. That one is so important. If you want a rhythm that will renew your joy, begin with Jesus. Amen? Number two. Abound in gratitude. Number two, abound in gratitude. Begin with Jesus and abound in gratitude. Gratitude is huge. I love how the Apostle Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I also love the Living Bible translation. It says this, one of the first scriptures I ever memorized when I was a seventh grade. I came to Christ when I was 12 years old in seventh grade, and my friend Mark Westgate came alongside of me and discipled me. He's in this church. His wife is the principal at SRVCA. His parents are in this room right now. Mark Westgate comes along and said, you really want to see growth in your Christian life? Memorize scripture. And one of the first scriptures I memorized was this one, Philippians 4:8. And it's about taking your thought life captive and how that can help you abound in gratitude. God's word says this, fix your thoughts. Fix them on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you could praise God for and be glad about. This is a verse about gratitude. Fix your thoughts. Dwell on all you could praise God for and be glad about. Amen? Let's do it right now. Pause. Pause. I want you to take your notes. I want you to take your notes. Take a pen, whether it's off the chair in front of you or behind you. And if you don't have one and you're sitting next to a woman, just reach into her purse and grab a pen. There'll be a pen in there. And I want you to make a list. I'm just kidding. Don't do that part. I want you to make a list right now. I'm going to give you 45 seconds of your top 5 blessings. These are things you can be grateful for right now and always that God has blessed you with. Ready? Go. God, you're so good. Thank you for. God, you're so gracious. I can't believe you've provided. Lord, I can't imagine my life without. God, I'm reminded of how much I rely upon your top 5 blessings. Now, here's the thing. I want you to take this list. I want you to take these notes, and I want you to put it in a place where you come back to it or you have access to it quickly. If you're in your car a lot, maybe you put it in the sun fold above your visor. Or maybe you put it in the center console. If you carry a wallet, and one of those wallets that's so thick that when you sit down, you have an arch in your back, put it in your wallet so you have access to it all the time. If you have the same purse or just where you have access, maybe it's on the mirror where you get ready in the morning where you can come back to this, because here's a promise. You will not always be abounding in gratitude. You will not always feel like that rhythm is leading to a renewal of your joy. But this is a list that will reset your heart and reestablish that rhythm of abounding in gratitude for what God has provided. And so the next time you find yourself in a low, pull out this list and remind yourself, I'm asking you to literally count your blessings. Literally count your blessings. And when you do that, when we do that, we begin to abound in gratitude. It renews our joy. Now, if you do it often enough, you might end up waking up one morning like this guy. This video, even though Christmas has passed, it was too good, I had to show it to you. This could be you. Take a look.
I'm alive! I'm alive!
Yeah?
Yeah. Hey, Christine, you're here too. Mm-hmm. I love you.
I know.
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works. It's coming. It goes on and off whenever we want. We've got clean water.
Oh, that's great. Look at that.
Ooh. I bet I know what this does.
Rain down the glorious water.
Shoes. Oh, what do we got here, guys?
Food.
I love food. What? A briefcase? You don't have work? This is awesome. Look, listen here.
Dee, the what?
Jack, be careful.
Ooh. I have a car. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car.
A car!
And don't forget your coffee.
You're the best.
The second rhythm that will renew your joy is to abound in gratitude. My favorite line of that whole thing is when he looks and he goes, shoes. I mean, you ever thought that? You ever been grateful for your shoes recently? Abound in gratitude. Rhythms are important. They're really important. And abounding in gratitude is the second rhythm that will renew your joy. Here's the third one, if you're a note taker. The third one, build in margin. Build in margin. And what I'm talking about that is, I mean, space, white space, room, margin. In your life, in your calendar, in your finances, in your work schedule, Jesus, of course, is the master, the model at this. Jesus was so good at this rhythm of building in margin. We see it all over Scripture, all throughout his ministry in the region of the Galilee and the Gospels. Most succinctly, we see it stated in Luke chapter 5 at verse 16. Here's what it says. But Jesus often withdrew to quiet places and prayed. What did he do? He often withdrew. He often built in margin. He often created space. He often withdrew. This was a rhythm to Jesus' life. My question is it a rhythm in ours? Because when I look around and I talk to people and I listen and I counsel, I see and experience people who are overscheduled, overworked, and who overspend. And I don't see much margin in our calendars, in our work schedules, in our weeks, or in our finances. And these are huge key areas when we have white space in these areas. And I'll explain in just a minute what that comes down to. Let me just share a story of a recent realization happened right before Christmas where I was confronted with the importance of margin, or in my life, the lack thereof. It was a week before Christmas. I was like ping-ponging back and forth between all these different meetings and message prep, getting ready to preach, getting ready to do the next series and planning for the next year and strategy and counseling people, meeting with people, just like a whirling dervish. I was going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I had all these meetings back to back and I was overlapping and I would be late to one and then late to the next and late to the next, trying to have all these, and like a week before Christmas, I thought, I don't feel much joy. I'm not in the Christmas spirit. I haven't even walked into a place to look to get one gift for anybody in my family. Not that Christmas is all about gifts, but I was even having a hard time being excited about what I was about to have the privilege to preach on, which means the coming of the King of Kings to the earth to celebrate on Christmas Day. We had over 4,000 people here on Christmas Eve. But right there, I was confronted. I'm like, I'm done. No margin, overload. I walked into a pastoral team meeting. I was really grateful because Kathy, who's sitting right here, she spoke up and she goes, oh, I feel that. I feel that in my life right now. And so we had some time of prayer and discussion around it as a pastoral team. And I walked out of that meeting right into my assistant Carol's office. And here's what I said, cancel every meeting for me for the rest of the year. I'm done. The rest of the year is just me and my Lord. That's it. No more one-on-ones. No more. It can wait. It can wait till the next week. It can wait till 2017. It can wait till the week after that because you're gone for Monday through Thursday of the week. No, it can wait till after that. Because I had zero margin. Because I had zero margin, I was really struggling to have a renewal of joy. And I don't know if you've ever been there. Three critical areas. Calendar, work schedule, and finances. Let me just speak a minute about the financial piece because we tend to overspend as a people. We have so much. And at this time of the year, right after Christmas, so many people are like feeling that push because we're over our tips financially and we've overspent for Christmas. This might be the year where you go, we need to get our finances under control. And we actually have a community. We have a course. It's a life group that's going to meet around and is taught by Mark and Emily Tate. It's called Financial Peace University. It starts January 30th. In a couple weeks, this might be the one for you to experience breakthrough in the area of finances, managing your finances God's way. Margin is so important. And this rhythm that Jesus modeled so well, to put it succinctly, and I'll put it up here, it's just three words. It's retreat to advance. Retreat to advance. He withdrew often to quiet places to further the mission. We retreat on our calendar in order to advance in our lives. We retreat in our workspace in order to advance in our lives. We retreat financially in order to advance in the way that we manage our finances God's way. Retreat to advance. And that rhythm that Jesus establishes and calls us to, that rhythm that can renew our joy, is all based on a single word. You know what that word is? Trust. Do we really trust that God's way is the right way? Do we really trust that resting and retreating and margin will lead to more of these things that he promises? And it's just a matter of trust. So maybe building in margin is a rhythm that God is calling you to renew your joy. Okay, I see a fourth one. Begin with Jesus, number one. Abound in gratitude, number two. Build in margin, number three. Here's a fourth one. This is kind of fun. Play with best friends. Play with best friends. I love this verse. Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens the other. Now you might be sitting here and go, that's not a play verse. That's not a joy verse. No, it is. It's a sharpening verse. And it's not a sharpen for battle all the time. It could be a sharpen to encourage. It could be a sharpen to buoy you with some joy. But as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I know you know this. This is important, this playing with best friends, this principle, this rhythm to renew your joy, because we've all seen it and experienced it in the life of our children. Or if you can think back to when you were a kid, you experienced it yourself. And I have a front row seat because my office is right over here near the playground. And so you might remember this when you grew up, because every one of us was a kid at some point. There was a rhythm built in to a day for kids. And once before lunch, and then once right after we ate, and then once in the afternoon after lunch, We stopped what we were doing and we ran out to a field or to a blacktop and we had what? Recess. And recess was a rhythm built in for children to play together. And we all know that there are really good things that come from recess as children. And I started to think, maybe there's research that has been done that makes this true. And so I looked up for a little while this week and I found a clinical report from the American Academy of Pediatrics on the importance of play. Here's an excerpt from that report. Play is essential to our social, emotional, cognitive, and physical well-being beginning in early childhood. It is a natural tool for children to develop resiliency as they learn to cooperate, overcome challenges, and negotiate with others. Play also produces creativity. With parents, it provides time for parents to be fully engaged with their children, to bond with their children, and to see the world from the perspective of their child. It is essential, here's the closing statement, it is essential that parents, educators, and pediatricians recognize the importance of lifelong benefits that children gain from play. Now, here's my question. Does that benefit end with childhood? The answer is no. No, we need rhythms of playing with best friends in our life. It is a rhythm. It's something that will renew our joy. And so I thought to myself, yeah, this is a way that I'm sharpened by my closest friends. And so then God started to think, now take stock of your life right now, Tyler. Investigate your rhythms. You know it didn't end with childhood. And I started to think, okay, I have a group of friends. These are my oldest, closest buddies. And we call ourselves, you just have to humor me for a second, we call ourselves the Madness Crew, and that's because every year for the last 20 years, we've gone to watch a weekend of basketball for March Madness, the NCAA basketball tournament, together. We pick a different city, we go en masse, and it is so ridiculous what we do because I take great pleasure in thinking ahead and buying and providing an outfit head to toe for everybody to wear. And everywhere we go that weekend, we wear the exact same clothes. It's so sophomoric, you wouldn't even believe it. Look at these pictures. Look at these pictures. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine walking everywhere that? Like, look at these next ones. And some of them are better than the others. We got this one. That's Pat Riley, by the way. We got this one head to toe. Keep going. Oh, there's another one. We have jerseys that we wear on travel day, so everybody wears their jerseys through the airport, and then we all stay in one hotel room. It's like a little fraternity, and we put our jerseys with our nicknames, hey, there's me right there, up in the hotel room, and it's so ridiculous. We got shoes at night. We all wear the same shoes. I mean, do you know how awkward it is to have five grown men walk to a pool all wearing the same bathing suit every single day? It's just ridiculous, but it's a rhythm of play, and it works, and we talk about it all year. We love the ramp up, and we love the weekend, and we got to a point now where we don't even care about the basketball. We were honest about that. We just love being together. We're so busy, the kids, it's like, oh, we'll watch the games. We don't need to go. So now we just go to a warm place. We go to a place where we can play a little golf, sit by a pool, have some nice steak, enjoy a glass of wine. We sit down and we talk. And what's interesting is these rhythms are important in lots of best friendships, including but not limited to those in your own family. Once a year, I take my three boys on a boys' trip. We go to Southern California. We spend 3 or 4 days just together. We splash. We play. We wrestle. We have this game called Strip It, which is literally just a football with someone who lays on the ground and tucks it away, and the other three boys try to rip it out. They try to strip it. And it's just, there's no words. We're sharpening without words. There's just grunts and sweat and play in that game. Think about if you're a married person with your spouse. The rhythm might be dates. It might be once a year going away as a husband and a wife. It might be a small group of people that you'd like to go on double dates with throughout the year because there's couples that you'd like to get to know. Rhythms of playing with your best friend. And here's how the sharpening works. I'll give you an example. We're sitting out by the pool this last April on one of these March Madness trips, where we just watch March Madness now, and we started to get into a discussion, ironically, about our daily rhythms. And one member of this group said, one of my close friends, he said, you know, my rhythm every day is I wake up and I go to the gym. I spend a good 90 minutes to 2 hours at the gym, and my wife handles all of the getting the kids up and fed and lunches and does all the drop-offs, and we just kind of get, and somebody else pipes up and goes, oh, I'm sorry. That's incredibly selfish. And he goes, well, what are you talking about? I mean, we got this down. I mean, it works. And he goes, that's fine that it's your rhythm. I'm declaring your rhythm is selfish. And then we just kind of moved on. What's interesting, like a month later, that friend who actually started to think about his morning rhythm wrote back in a text to the group. He said, hey, by the way, after that conversation by the pool, I completely changed my morning rhythm. I'm present, I help, and I go back to that verse, as iron sharpens iron, even and sometimes especially in the midst of play, so one person sharpens the other. Now, I realize that you might be sitting here going, I want that, but I don't have a best friend. Here's the on-ramp. You can join a life group, a women's group, or a men's group any season here at CPC and step into a community where that best friendship relationship can start and grow and mature. And so if you're looking for that, this is a great season to step into that. You can find a best friend here at CPC if you don't have one by yourself. So these are rhythms that can renew your joy. Begin with Jesus, abound in gratitude, build in margin, play with best friends. That includes but isn't limited to your family. And then here's a fifth one as we wrap up. Give back. Give back. This is giving back your time, giving back your talent, giving back your treasure. Jesus put it this way. He was being quoted by one of his apostles in Acts 20:35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And that word for blessed there means happy. It means joy. You experience more joy. You're happier when you give back, when you give your life away. See, we follow a Jesus. We follow a Lord. We follow a king who came in to fulfill prophecy to be a reigning king. But his path to that kingship, his path to that coronation was through being a suffering servant who got under and gave his life away, even unto death on a cross, to accomplish that kingdom. And so it stands to measure that if we claim the name of Jesus, we say, I'm a Jesus follower, I'm a Christ follower, I'm a Christian, that we will experience the blessing that he promises through giving our lives away, just like he did for us. Now, you can do this individually. You can do this as a life group. You can do this as a class. You can do this as a company or a team from work. I want to show you a couple pictures as we close of a group from Mothers Together that did this as a group. They took this idea that we did on Serve Day last year, last May. We had a bunch of people that went to do Kids Against Hunger Serve Project in Pleasanton, and they packed over 50,000 meals for starving children that day. And so Melody and Laura, who helped lead Mothers Together, said, why don't we bring that to CPC? Why don't we serve? We're connected in community. Why don't we serve as a community? And you couldn't believe how much joy was on their faces. You couldn't believe how much joy was in that room because they were establishing a rhythm of giving back, even in the midst of community. It was beautiful. You can do that. And if and when you do it, that is a rhythm that will renew your joy. Begin with Jesus, abound in gratitude, build in margin, play with best friends, and give back. Rhythms are just, they're really important. And these are rhythms that will renew your joy. I don't know which rhythm is the one that God has for you to address or to respond to this morning, but the Holy Spirit is so good at bringing conviction and sharpening and encouragement. And so he'll do that for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the chance to respond to your teaching us through your word. I pray that you would give us courage. I pray that you would remind us that this promise of joy is something that we all want. We all want joy. We want more joy. We want gladness and good pleasure and happiness all wrapped into one. We want that joy. And so, Lord, would you give us the courage to establish or maybe to reestablish some of these rhythms in our lives? Would you give us the trust required that your way, sometimes it's harder, but it's always better. It's always better to follow your lead. Jesus, we thank you that you model these for us. We thank you that you began with a relationship with your Father, and so we can begin with you. We thank you that you showed what it was like to give thanks multiple times, abounding in gratitude. Lord, we thank you that you modeled for us what it means to build in margin in our lives. God, we thank you. We know that in 3+ years of ministry all over that region of the Galilee, we know that there is tremendous joy in the journey, not just the lessons, but the joy is always in that journey. We just can't even imagine all the fun you had with your disciples. And God, Lord, you modeled what it's like to give your life away. Would you encourage us to trust that our joy will be renewed as we give back our time and our talent and our treasure? God, help us as a church, help us individually, help us as families. We pray in your holy name, and all God's people said, amen.